It's time for Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, let's have some fun. Here is your host, Johnny Radio.
Yo. Welcome into a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. It's a Monday, and it's a Final Four all set up Monday for you. Alabama, holy moly. Man, we had some good games this weekend. We had some ugly games this weekend. I'm going to tell you, we're going to break it down. The Final Four is set, Alabama and UConn. The line is big, but it should be. If you've been watching UConn, they've been destroying people. Absolutely smashing people. It's not even funny how good they are right now. So big tip of the cap to UConn, the defending champs. But Alabama, if there's any team out there that could actually beat somebody like them, it's got to be Alabama for one reason. That could beat UConn. They hit threes. If they go crazy from three, you know, you run into somebody that's hot one night, it could happen. Maybe those guards can get the UConn guards out of pace or whatever. But, man, we are breaking down the Final Four. On the other side, I'm excited to see Big DJ Burns and Zach Edey. Zach Edey is just huge. Zach Edey has been awesome. I feel you, Tennessee fans. Every time Zach Edey touched the ball, they called a terrible foul. I know he's hard to officiate, but damn, bro. How many free throws can you take in one game? It was a free throw contest. But we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the matchups so much more because we have Jake Crane today from Crane & Company on at 11:10. So in about 5 minutes, we're going to talk a lot about what we saw in the Final Four. We're also going to talk a little bit with some Terry Davis, TD. And you know, when I get TD on there, we're going to have to talk a little bit of baseball. There's a lot we've learned from opening weekend. I will tell you, I'm very surprised that the Yankees went down and swept the Houston Astros. I mean, I'm not just surprised, I'm shocked, to be honest with you. That was very, very impressive. So we're going to break down a little baseball. The Final Four is set. And then I got to ask all you people at the Sissy's Log Cabin listener and text line, are you going to watch women's hoops tonight? They think, not just they, but like the experts, but me too, I agree with them. They believe tonight's matchup between LSU and Iowa, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese. You remember last year in the Final Four in the championship game when it was all said and done. Caitlin Clark was doing the John Cena, is that the wrestler that does the no face? Angel Reese at the end of the game was doing the no face back to Caitlin Clark and pointing to her ring finger. After the game, everybody was talking about was that unsportsmanlike, it was blah, blah, stupid stuff. No, man, these two teams are going to get at it. You got two heavy-duty competitors in Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. You got Kim Mulkey's crazy self on the other side. It's going to be awesome. I'm just curious, do I get castrated by Chas and tell her that I'm watching basketball again tonight, or I do what she wants to do?
Well, no basketball tomorrow night unless you want to watch the NIT, so maybe you can swindle it.
Finagle
that way.
One more day?
Iowa and LSU tonight, but tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, no basketball. Friday, even, no basketball. I mean, no basketball the rest of the week.
Put me on a baseball restriction then.
Well, I mean, you know, long season, John. Long season.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point. But I'm kind of curious. Are you interested in the LSU-Iowa game? I'm interested. I don't know if I can put, like, you know how I've been betting women's basketball.
Sure.
I haven't bet a women's basketball game since the start of the tournament because I'm too laser focused. Yeah. On what's going on in the men's tournament.
Also, they can't get their three-point line.
They can't How's that happen?
I have not. And it was just caught that game. They had played five games on it or four games on it prior.
If you haven't heard, was it out in Portland?
Portland, that's right.
The women's tournament out in Portland. The women's Final Four is, you know, rocking. The tournament's going on. And they've been playing in Portland. And somehow, one side of the three-point line was how many inches off?
I don't remember. I think it was like 3 inches off. It was something like that. I mean, it was pretty drastic.
Dude, I'm telling you, man. You ask those ladies, 3 inches means a lot.
And I saw on SportsCenter. I see. I don't know exactly. I could find it, but I saw last night on SportsCenter. I had to take a screenshot or a photo of it so that I could remember it. 3-point shooting by side of court, NCAA tournament games at Moda Center, 5 games played in Portland, on the short line, or excuse me, on the standard line, the correct line, they shot overall 33% in all games. All the players shot 33% from that line. The short line, only 29%. So, I mean, that's a pretty big difference.
And tell me 3 inches don't matter.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Melinda, hope you're listening.
LSU, Iowa tonight.
Wait, no. It's the motion of the ocean, John.
No. It takes both.
Dang it.
Yep. You gotta have good motion and never mind.
Then Melinda, don't listen.
LSU and Iowa though tonight. Iowa's a 1.5-point favorite. So if you are gonna bet that, you can. I kind of want to bet it just so I can bet for Iowa.
Just so you can say you bet.
And also, well, just because you know what's going to happen, I know I'm going to end up placing a bet if I watch it, sadly.
Or you're not going to place a bet, and then at the end of the game, you're going to be like, dang it, I knew that was going to happen. I should have bet on it.
I just feel like this LSU team doesn't have much depth, but then I also look at Iowa and don't feel like they have nearly much talent in the starting five outside of Caitlin Clark, the scoring princess. But she does get like 15 assists and stuff in games, and stuff. I mean, she's crazy. Then you have UConn and USC. What is it, Paige Buecher? And Juju, what's her little name?
Watkins.
Juju Watkins. She's the one that gave the Joel Embiid the Juju in that great commercial with his hair. Choices. Now, we just talked a little bit about the women's tournament. Now I'm excited, though, because Jake Crane from Crane & Company is about to join us. We're going to talk about what we saw in the men's tournament this weekend, what we're going to see coming up next weekend. Is Zach Edey going to be a pro? And so much more. But it's time to bring in the man, the myth, the living legend, Jake Crane. What's up, homie?
What's up, brother? How's it going?
Man, it's great, dude. Great Monday for me, just like your brother Blaine. I've been rocking and firing on Alabama. Luckily, I had NC State, so it was a hell of a weekend, I can tell you that much.
God, you love to see it. It's kind of a little crazy down here at the end, but look, Final Four, man, I don't know if anybody can beat UConn.
That's where I was going to start right there. Is there anybody that can beat UConn? I know Alabama, if they're hitting their threes, if they're exceptional, if they can get their guards out and change the pace, they could get hot. And if you're hot, you can beat anybody. But do you believe that Purdue and UConn are basically destined to meet each other in the championship?
Well, obviously with the way UConn's not only playing right now, but the way they've been playing in the last two NCAA tournaments and their ability to not play down to their competition or really just to play the way they're always going to play, which I think is one of the most underrated strengths about UConn. I mean, you got to feel a lot better about the chances of NC State beating Purdue just because UConn's not in there, are not in that game. The question becomes, and we talked about this on Crane & Company today, is that with the way DJ Burns is built, he's not 7 feet tall. He's about 7 foot wide, but he's, he's 6'9", so he's not going to be as tall as Zach Edey, but I don't think Zach Edey is going to be able to push him and back him down the way he was Adu from Tennessee and these kind of other taller guys, but not as girthy guys. So I actually think NC State I like NC State to cover that 9.5, that's for sure, but if there's a person that could give Edey problems, and if the game's officiated in a little bit of a different way than it was in the Purdue-Tennessee game, I wouldn't be shocked to see NC State there.
When you talk about NC State, do you think, because Braden Smith, Ziegler, two little bitty guards who went at it, very, very impressive. NC State, those guards, like Horn and them, they feel like they got a little bit of dog in them. Do you think that they could overwhelm the athleticism? Because Purdue can shoot the ball from 3-point line, and they pound it into Zeedy. But like you said, Burns is not going to be – he's an immovable object. He's a huge human being. In fact, he is, I believe somebody said – how much? Do you know how much he weighs, by the way, Dacus?
I think it's like 355.
355. Yeah, dude, that's a big body to move around. Do you think that the Wolfpack and their guards could basically maybe possibly take over their game with this athleticism? Because they kind of, I felt like, overwhelmed Duke yesterday.
Well, I feel like you got to kind of run if you're going to do that. The question becomes, is DJ Burns able to keep Zach Edey from backing him down and getting underneath the basket and having to make you draw, double Zach Edey in the post? which makes it a lot easier and gives you a lot more open looks from three. Not only that, but it creates driving lanes for those Purdue guards. So if we're going to look at it, you know, you got to, you know, take it by what side of the ball are you on. Now, you know, offensively, if you're NC State, the biggest problem hasn't been the guys being able to get around the Purdue guards. It's when they get into the paint on these drives. I mean, you have Godzilla sitting right down there below. So can you find another way to attack, or you got to be able to hit open shots? I don't think Purdue shot the ball very well, you know, from the outside. I think outside of Dalton Connect, nobody shot the ball well for Tennessee. But when you look at NC State, if DJ Burns, and I think about it more on the defensive side, if he's able to just, you know, get beat sometimes by Edie, but not get pushed around, Edie's going to get his. It's not letting the other guys get theirs.
You know, when we look at this NC State team and, you know, what they did in week number one, the first week of the tournament, you're kind of like, you know, beating Texas Tech and Oakland is one thing. This weekend, though, dropping Marquette in game one, holding them to 58 freaking points, I was like, damn. And then come back to do it two days later to Duke and hold them to 64. This defense has been suffocating. How low of a score? Like, I mean, is this game got to go under for NC State to win?
See, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think it's that black and white. Again, you've got to get to the point, you know, like we've talked about since we got in this tournament, where you have to understand, like, Zach Edey is going to do some things. It's not, you can't let Zach Edey go off for 40. I'll give you that. That's going to make it tough. But if you just let Zach Edey do his thing and you take everybody else away and make Purdue have to be, you know, somewhat multi-pronged, I don't think whether the over, I think the under would naturally hit, but I don't think that's, you know, necessarily the best path for NC State. I think they can win different types of games. It's just, are the guys around Zach Edey? It's like Dalton Connect for Tennessee. Yeah, Dalton Connect dropped 37, but nobody else did anything. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what makes UConn so scary, is that they don't have to have a guy go off for 37 points, or they don't have to have a guy, you know, have some immaculate game to be able to beat you by 30. Like, just everybody plays well and everybody's good.
Now with Purdue and what we saw with Tennessee yesterday, and you already talked about, you know, nobody showed up outside of Connect for Tennessee. Kind of sad situation, foul trouble the whole game. I'm kind of curious, though, with what you saw against Tennessee. Do you believe that was a – did they poorly officiate that game with Zach Edey? I know he's difficult to, you know, when you're a ref, but damn, I went through and looked at all the damn fouls they called him and as many free throws as he shot. And I'm not saying that, you know, half of them weren't, I mean, more than half weren't fouls, but damn, every time he just got breathed on, it felt like they were blowing the whistle.
Yeah, well, what it felt like to me was that Zach Edey was getting fouls called, you know, against Tennessee on him, but there were some things that not just Zach Edey, but Purdue was doing in general against Tennessee that I thought there should have been some fouls called on. My whole thing is, look, if you're going to call it close, call it close. If you're going to let them just play, then let them play. Just be consistent on both sides. If it's a ball to them, then it's a ball to us. I don't think, not that that was, you know, the only reason that Purdue was able to win, but I did think that Edey was getting the benefit of the doubt, even when they were fouls, that weren't getting called against Tennessee. So I don't think it was – I think this whole tournament's been poorly officiated, to be honest.
I agree with you. But Zach Edey was absolutely nasty, you know, having a 40-point game yesterday. The dude has, you know, dropped 40, 27, 23, 30 in the tournament. He's just absolutely smoking people. If Zach Edey and Purdue do get past NC State, I'm leaning NC State to at least cover. I think it's going to be a good game. But do you think that would be the best matchup for a national championship, seeing Klingon and Edey and Braden Smith and Tristan? Like, would that be the best championship game?
I mean, I think the best one would be whatever team. Like, you can't beat UConn with just one guy, but if there was ever one guy that could beat UConn, it's Zach Edey. You know, if we're gonna be honest, I just think it's the team aspect that can beat UConn. That's it. Because I mean, I watched Northwestern not miss a shot for a half and still get dropped by 27. Like it's, I just feel like it's, you got to be more than a one trick pony. Now, could Zach Edey go in there and just like you know, Godzilla, what Godzilla did to Japan, just if they're calling officiating it like that, could they get away with it? I think so. But, man, I feel like you got to beat UConn. The only way you beat UConn is if everybody, including your superstar, plays well.
UConn, by the way, again, number one offense they played on Saturday. That was Illinois. You got Terrence Shannon. This team's been scoring. They went up against the great defense in Iowa State, the number one overall defense in the country, according to KenPom. And UConn just handled them. Like, I've never seen – like, I mean, Illinois couldn't do a damn thing. That was so impressive. I just wish I would have jumped on UConn when I was getting plus money to win the Final Four.
Yeah, you know, I thought maybe Terrence Shannon and DeMoz and you know, the way Danger was playing, it could have kept Illinois in the game, and they did for a half. But, I mean, dude, UConn went on a 30-0 run. I've never...
How does that happen?
I don't think I've ever seen that at a high school game. Like, the fact that you're able to do that to the 2 seed or to the 3 seed, you're doing that to the 3 seed? It's just Terrence Shannon, he was just locked up at Azkaban the whole night. UConn decided, hey, we're just going to go ahead and run away with this bad boy. And that's what they did. They're just like, hey, let's see how good we can play every night.
Yeah, that was one of the craziest. I mean, every time I watch UConn, I just after every game, I keep coming back to myself and saying, man, there's just nobody. They got clinging down low. They stopped the number one offense in the country. I mean, they just do everything so well. I just don't know who in the hell is going to stop them.
Well, it's like I said, they're the Costco of college basketball game. They got a lot of it, and they got it in bulk.
Man, they do. It is the Costco of college basketball, and they're doing a damn good job. All right, now, got to ask you a little bit about Tennessee real quick. Rick Barnes, this was probably his best chance. You think this is you think it's about time? I mean, do you think he's got to be thinking to himself that maybe he's hanging up soon? Was that the best chance he had to get to the Final Four and win it?
Man, I don't know. He's never been this hot before. I mean, do you hang it up when you're on a heater? I mean, it took Rick Barnes forever, it feels like, to get to Elite Eight and Tennessee to get past the Sweet 16 with him. And, you know, now that he's finally got there, you know, is he ready to see the changing of the guard like we saw with Roy Williams at North Carolina or Coach K or you know, some of these, you know, Jim Boeheim at Syracuse? I just think Rick Barnes has done a good job adapting to the new style of play. I don't see any reason for him to shut it down right now unless he's just sick of it.
Oh, man. Tennessee fans are very disappointed. That was a little bit tough for them. I was hanging out with a few of them the other night, and they're thoroughly disappointed. But Alabama fans are going absolutely bananas. How in the hell was Nate Oates really a high school coach 11 years ago and a math teacher and selling Capri Suns and all that stuff outside of his office? Like, is this a real story?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's like one of those, you know, it's like one of those Disney movies. I keep thinking he's the guy from Glory Road, but, you know, they actually kind of look alike when you look at him. But here's the thing. I think Nate Oates does a really good job. And look, I thought he was very transparent in press conferences where he's talking about the lack of defensive will by his team. I think he shoots them straight. It's a fun style of ball, but he's able to go out and get guards, it seems, that are built for the moment, right? That's, you know, and I know, you know, you look at Herb Jones and some of these other guys, but you go back and look at Petty and look at Shackelford and look at some of the guys that he's had before this, and I think they've had better teams, but he's able to tap in to be able to get the most out of guys in the biggest moments, and that's been the difference with Nate Oates. It's a combination of things, but I think he's able to reach in there and get the best out of his guys in the biggest moments. And that's the best quality I think you can have as a coach.
We got a little women's action tonight. Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, LSU, Iowa State. I mean, Iowa, are you going to be watching the women's tournament tonight?
I will, man. I got a little money sprinkled on it. You know,
which side did you go? LSU. Did you go with Caitlin Clark or the LSU and Kim Mulkey?
No, I'm going LSU. I'm going LSU. Embrace the darkness. I think Caitlin Clark will do her normal thing. The difference is, Angel Reese and this LSU team, I just think it's deeper. That's the reason Iowa hasn't won one yet. And they haven't been able to beat a 1 seed. Now, I know they've been a 1 seed. But at the end of the day, I like LSU to win, and I like USC and Juju Watkins to beat UConn.
Both dogs you're taking tonight, you're getting LSU plus 1.5 and USC plus the 3.5. Last but not least, Rashee Rice, man. I'm sure you saw the video. What was up with that?
Bro, how dumb you got to be, man?
I don't know.
Like, is being rich in the NFL not enough? You know who? You know, nobody should really do street racing. But you know the only people who should do street racing? Probably street racers, man. Like, it just, who are your friends? Like, who are your buddies? Like, hey, Rasheed, you worked your whole life to get here. It's a great opportunity. Hey, let's go street race with Mike Winchell in Tokyo Drift. Like, it's just, just the dumbest thing ever.
It was the dumbest thing ever. And then also just, you know, the way they left the scene of the accident, it kind of just makes you have to first thing. What's the first thing that came to your mind? Oh, if they left the scene of the accident, could there have been drinking involved or drugs?
Yeah, the first thing in my mind was why? Mm-hmm. Well, why? Like, who does this impress? Like, racing on the street? It's just, I don't know, man. There's just something really dumb about that to me.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree. Now, do me a big favor. Tell everybody where they can find you again. I watch you on YouTube in my house. I love watching both of you, like all y'all together, and just going back and forth. I think it's the best show going. If you get tired of some of the sports shows in the morning, you start at what, 6 a.m.?
Yeah, man. Look, we're live at 6:30 a.m. Central. You better hop out to bed like you're possessed. But if you can't catch us live, it stays on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that stuff. It's Crane and Company, C-R-A-I-N and Company, talking everything. We have a good time.
I think that's my favorite part of it because I don't get up till 8, so I put you on about 8:15 and watch you before I come in.
Yeah.
And
look,
you can
really
watch it
good.
When you want, man. That's the cool thing about it. So,
on demand, for the people, by the people, baby.
Jake, man, be blessed. Do me a favor and enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll do it again next Monday.
All right, buddy. See ya.
That is Jake Crane from Crane & Company. We're going to take a quick time out here in Two Shakes. We got Terry Davis on the other side. We're going to talk a little basketball. We're going to talk a little bit about some Major League Baseball, him being a big baseball fan. And Brian Dacus, by the way, hello. How are you today?
Good morning.
Did you enjoy the hoops from this weekend?
I did.
Do you have any? Did you win any money?
I did.
Did you do really, really well?
I did okay. Between basketball, baseball, and the UFL, week one of the UFL. Yeah, we had all right weekend.
Just one quick thing about the UFL. Uh-huh. Why in the hell?
Showboats 1-0.
Why would you open up your season in one of the busiest weekends in all of sports?
Good question.
You have the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight.
That's right.
Major League Baseball's opening freaking week.
That's right.
Don't we have the Masters this weekend?
No.
Next weekend?
Next weekend.
Next week. Oh, I know it's coming up. I'm just saying. They do have some golf going on, don't they?
Oh, yeah. There's golf tournaments going on.
Like people like who like golf are paying attention?
Maybe.
No. But
a lot of people, I think. I think it's like Christmas Day for basketball
fans.
Golf
officially hadn't really started
until the Masters.
Right.
So, like, you know how, like, NBA fans watch it, like, opening day and then on, but, like, basketball fans or just sports fans don't pay attention to the NBA till like Christmas Day. It's kind of how golf is, you know, real golf fans are watching all year long, but it's not till the Masters when everyone's really like, okay, golf started.
And we haven't even mentioned, the NBA actually right now means something.
Yeah.
So you got the NBA, Major League Baseball.
Games left.
You got the Final Four, the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight. People getting set. Oh, and let's not forget, there's that hockey thing that goes on the little skaters.
Yeah.
Like, that's happening, right?
Yeah. Actually, college hockey, they're in their tournament right now.
Damn.
So that was going on like, ESPN2, ESPNU over the weekend.
Like, I just feel like that is, I don't know, man. Call me crazy.
I did watch all four UFL games, though.
Did you really?
I did.
All of them, like, did none of them coincide with the tournament?
No. So on Saturday, Saturday all the basketball games were at night. The UFL games were during the day. So I went to the Redbirds game on Saturday, had the UFL game going on my phone while I was sitting there watching. Because it was also like before, I think most of the MLB games didn't start till like 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock that evening. So I was watching UFL at the Redbirds game. Redbirds won, by the way.
Yeah, by the way, yeah, Saturday was a great day. If you
it
took
was
the Braves.
A beautiful day, too, yeah. Oh, yeah, Braves.
Man, they
oh, and
then
yesterday,
the
oh, man, they fell apart late.
Phillies
wow.
took care of the business yesterday. They sure had did. To. Had to get back. But we're going to talk all kinds of sports, and Terry Davis, he's next, Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11, here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
All the wisdom of the universe is in these bones. Now back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. Happy Monday, everybody. We got the Final Four set. By the way, Zach Edey still in the damn lane. Man, that dude was in. They dude camped out. Did you know he put up a 10 in the lane?
Did he?
Bro, he was in there like 10 seconds every damn time he went down the court. Mm. You have to admit. Come on now. If you want to, you don't always have to bitch about the fouls. You don't. Like, you can say, okay, yeah, if that's how they're going to call it, should have called it the other way as well. But he camped in the lane. Isn't there a 3 seconds? Did they not? I mean, I've seen it called once so far in the tournament.
Yeah, I certainly haven't seen it called very often, though.
But Edey, how can you miss him?
He's giant.
He was standing in the lane.
He's literally 7'4", 300 pounds.
My man Paul texted in. He said they don't need to be bitching about fouls. What they need to be complaining about is the 3 seconds. I saw a piece of footage that showed him in the paint for 10 whole seconds.
Wow.
My man Matt came in about the same thing. Everybody that's a Vols fan out there, I get it, bro. Can't let that dude just camp out in the lane. 3 seconds. Let's see what our good buddy Terry Davis thinks. How are you doing, T?
Man, what is up, man? But those were two good games that Tennessee played this weekend, man.
First and foremost, this is Terry Davis, the great Terry Davis. Follow him at TerryD515. Read his work at the Tri-State Defender, the new Tri-State Defender. And also, you were in Detroit, man. How was Detroit?
Yep.
How was it?
Man, it was great, man. You know, hanging out with a lot of Tennessee fans. You know, they were partying, spending money. You know, they came out to win, Friday, and everything's all good. And then, you know, Dalton Connect, he went off, but he's the only one that showed up.
Yeah, it is true. He is the only one that showed up. You heard me when I started the segment because I knew you were in Detroit. I knew you were around a lot of Tennessee fans. I'm kind of curious, was it the same thing that I was basically saying? Were they freaking out how long Zach Edey was basically just standing in the paint?
Yeah, because, you know, I was sitting right behind the Tennessee bench, and they were saying that the whole game. You know, even Rick Barnes was saying, because I was sitting like 6 feet from Rick Barnes. They were saying he's camping out of the lane all day long to the refs, but yet they never called it.
Man, that to me was a little bit strange. And again, I'm not taking anything away from Purdue. Purdue's a great team. They've only lost 4 games this year, 33-4. They're going to the Final Four. Zach Edey had 40 points. He was good. I mean, Tennessee, if anybody else shows up, I mean, Mayshak, he was in fouled out of the game, didn't do anything, couldn't hit anything. I don't even know if Adu took a shot yesterday. He was also in foul trouble. They were, I mean, Awaka, like nobody. I don't know if anybody that was a forward or a center, like even put the ball in the hole yesterday.
Yeah, and that's what happened. Is I think when Dalton just got going, I think what happened is a lot of those other guys just stood around and watched Dalton and said, okay, Dalton, you do it. And they didn't provide him any help.
Yeah, and poor Ziegler, he was 1-for-8 from downtown, kept shooting him 3-for-12 for the game. I love Ziegler, great. I mean, defensive player of the year. Dude's 5'8", 5'9", SEC. Didn't even lead the league in the SEC in steals yet. Still was the defensive player of the year. Great little kid, just poor kid yesterday, just couldn't hit a shot. And then the free throws, man.
Wow. Man, yeah, because Purdue shot.
Damn, 33 free throws to 11.
33 free throws to 11, and they have 47 rebounds, so they're 26 rebounds. And that was the difference in the game because every loose ball, it seemed like Purdue was getting.
Yeah, I mean, 13 offensive rebounds that are putbacks by Edey is, you know, kind of big. But also Edey, again, my man shot 22 free throws.
Yeah.
That's
he shot more
ridiculous.
Than double than the Tennessee team shot. Tennessee only shot 11.
Do you think Tennessee fan has a right to be upset today?
Of course not, because if you watch Purdue play, they allowed them to play that way all season long. Purdue, you might get in the 1-on-1 for Purdue because they just don't call fouls for Purdue. They just have they've been called, officiated all year long.
I know he's hard to officiate, but damn, dude, that was just a tough watch. I will say it was great financially, though.
I know it was.
Woo, I was sweating, you know, that joint.
And, you know, I got a lot of good ball fans. You know, I hate to say it, though. you know, I was really kind of hoping they break their streak of going to the Final Four. I know some people in Memphis wasn't wanting them to go to the Final Four, because if they went to the Final Four, I was going to the Final Four.
Damn, I wish you were going. And again, great year though for Rick Barnes, the Tennessee Vols.
Yeah.
And I do understand Tennessee fans' rage and anger again. The videos that go around where you just see them camping out in the lane. You got a right to complain, but we do have Purdue. They're facing NC State. How? Like, this is, for me, I'm excited about this matchup so much more than the Alabama-UConn game, because right now UConn looks invincible. But, man, when I look before –
Big man against big man?
Yes, DJ Burns.
It's going to be great, man.
Man, dude's 350 pounds. Zach Edey, 7'4", 300 pounds. He's, what, 6'9", 350?
Yeah.
That's going to – and plus, he's twinkle toes. He's light. He's got – he goes left-handed all the time because he's a lefty, and he's just got that soft touch. I mean, it's crazy to me a man that big has such a soft touch around there, and he just puts the ball in the damn hole. Do you think he can you know, keep Zeedy from just camping out in the paint and getting close and making those little bitty right-handed hooks?
You know, Edey got a nice little soft jumper, too.
He does.
Hook shot, because it's hard to block him because he's 7'4".
Yeah.
But the object of the game is going to still come down to officiating. If DJ Burns or Edey don't get in foul trouble, it's going to be a great game. But whomever get in foul trouble, the other team's going to have advantage.
Who do you think, the way the NC State played defense against Marquette and Duke really gives me belief that they can actually pull this off. I mean, Duke and Marquette, totally two different teams from the way Purdue plays. But, I mean, this team is on a heater. I mean, on a heater. Went and won the ACC tournament. They hadn't lost. They've been on a run all the way now, find themselves from 11 seed in the Final Four. Like, this is a crazy run, but it's not like by an accident. Again, they went through Marquette, and yesterday they went through Duke, and in the second half they just suffocated Duke. I love these guards. I think they could really pester Purdue. The guards, Braden Smith, he's little. He's very talented. But the other guards around, you know, not the best ball handlers, can shoot the three. NC State Wolfpack, I think, could give this team a hell of a run for their money. I like the points early.
But you know what, man? One thing I've noticed about Purdue, on offense, they got one objective. We're going to dump the ball in to Edey. We're going to dump the ball in to Edey. We're going to dump the ball in to Edey. And then when everybody drop down, those guys go hit that mid-range to a three-pointer. And, you know, this team is a whole lot better than the team that lost last year, because I was at the game last year when they lost to Fairleigh Dickinson up in Columbus. And this team is so much better. They can actually shoot the ball, and which makes it hard for you to really, you know.
Well, if they can, Burns can, if they don't have to double Edey and Burns can play him straight up, it'll be hard for him to pass it out to wide open three pointers. And that's one of the where, you know, Purdue breads their butter. You dump it into Edey, he either turns around and throws it off the glass, or just kind of like swishes it in, or gets fouled, or he kicks it out to a wide open three.
But do you think 1-on-1 Burns can compete with Edey 1-on-1?
If he doesn't let him get position, it's not like Edey's going to be able to back that big boy down. Again, you got to think of leverage. 7'4", 6'9", 350 pounds, 300 pounds. DJ Burns' big old butt ain't going to be like just – like Edey can bang him, but I don't see him moving too far back.
Edey,
I mean, this guy could play left tackle in the National Football League if he did a little work.
But with Edey, he can shoot over Burns.
That's why I'm saying he's got to make sure he can't let him get deep position. You got
to
go out there.
You know, I don't think he has to have deep position. I think he can go 5 feet in and out and still make that same little hook shot. Because his touch is just that good.
Well,
it's going to be a good game.
It's going to be really an interesting game.
Yeah.
I like Horn, man. That dude's got ice water running through his veins.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know what, man, you know, and it's sad that, you know, like a lot of people don't watch college basketball all year, man. But it's been – college basketball has been good all year long, man.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that people only look at it for the last four weeks of the season.
Well, if everybody knows DJ Horn because, he's the big guy. He's got the big smile. He's hilarious. They had the little piece on him yesterday. It's great. But DJ Burns isn't the only DJ. DJ Horn is flat out – like I said, this dude is a dog. He does not – like – when that game was tight late, did you see him pull up that three right when, you know, Duke go ahead and cuts it to two? He goes down there and rips a three right in everybody's face and is just like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. This has been a really fun tournament. You know, even though there's not a bunch of superstars, you know, across the NCAA on the men's side, it's been a really, really fun tournament. It's been a whole lot of fun games. And then you know when it came to the Sweet 16, we thought the chalk was going to walk. The chalk didn't walk, man. NC State, Clemson, you know, they did that thing, man. It's been a really good tournament.
It's crazy, Alabama
and Bama, yeah. First time going.
The fact that Nate Oates, did you see this little tidbit that's been going around all day about Nate Oates, where he was 11 years ago?
I know exactly where he was 11 years ago.
You knew he was a math teacher, coach in high school in Detroit.
Yes.
Selling flaming hot Cheetos, Capri Suns, and Pop-Tarts out of his office to, like, raise funds for his team, bro. And now this man has taken Alabama to its first Final Four ever. Like, ever. Hey.
Johnny, we got to get flaming hot out of the high schools, man. That's just not a high school thing, man. But that's a popular thing in high school, flaming hot Cheetos.
You know, like flaming hot Cheetos, I believe Dacus is the one who told me this, that they're actually illegal in other countries because they have so many bad stuff.
No, California is going to ban them from schools because of, like, the chemical ingredients inside them or something.
But they taste so doggone good, though.
Sure do.
All right, on the flip side, though, we talked a little bit about Purdue, NC State. Alabama, again, been talking about Nate Oates. If you get hot, yeah. Mark Sears, he's bad to the bone. We saw Grant Nelson get completely off a couple nights ago. Was in a little foul trouble, still played big. But, man, can Alabama do anything to slow UConn down, or is this just a foregone conclusion that they will be playing in the championship game? They're 11.5-point favorite by Vegas.
You know what? You know one thing they said about, you remember when the UNLV team was just running through everybody? They would beat everybody by double digits. UConn hadn't played a tight game in a long time. So if Alabama can keep it tight lately, how will UConn react to that?
Man, if they keep it tight, I don't know, man. This UConn team just doesn't seem like they blink in keeping it tight. They've been up by 30 points in every game. They were up by 30 against Stetson, Northwestern, San Diego State.
Yeah.
And
But pressure Illinois. Bust pipes, man.
That's true.
Yeah, pressure bust pipes, man. When you get in a situation that you hadn't been in a long time, sometimes you panic and you do stuff that you don't normally do. So that, you know, I do want to see a Purdue-UConn series. But if Alabama keep it close late, anything can happen, man, because you get those nerves going, anything can happen. You start doing stuff, you start forcing stuff, because that's one of the reasons Connecticut is playing so well, because they're playing so free, because they're dominating everybody. They ain't got to think about nothing. They're just going out and having fun. They ain't got to think. This is out there reacting. But what's going to happen if they get in the last couple minutes and they have to start to think? Will they overthink?
Oh, it would be crazy seeing Klingon down there against Zach Edey. I think that would be one hell of a matchup.
That's what I'm hoping for. I want Purdue and UConn to battle for the thing. Because, one, you know, I feel sorry for Purdue for what happened last year, you know, 1-16. But it's just an accomplishment for them just to get to the Final Four. So that's what I'm looking for. But I think both games will be great this Saturday.
The UConn, the way they dominated Illinois. Illinois was, again, you know, the number one team according to KenPom in offense. They got Hawkins. Of course, everybody knows Terrence Shannon Jr. They could not do anything. Like, they couldn't do anything. Everybody knows Alabama's offense is really good. They play at a pace that's, unbelievably out of control. Even when Alabama was trying to be slowed up, they learned how to play fast in the half court. You know, quick cuts and, you know, things of that nature. I like Alabama. I think they have a chance. They're very, 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 very impressive. But right now, like, what do you say about after seeing, like, if you, like, the Illinois team was the number one team. How do they stop them to nothing?
Because they start pressing, you know, because Illinois is so, they're a long ball shooter. They are a lot similar to Alabama. They like to shoot the ball, like to shoot the three-pointer.
Hawkins couldn't hit a three to save his life.
Right, they couldn't hit the side of a barn on Saturday, and they just kept shooting it up. Instead of going to the rim and try to get a two, they kept trying to go for three, and they just got further and further and further behind. Instead of trying to, you know, attack the basket to get a, you know, get a free throw to slow the game down, to get your legs back under you, they just fell right into the hands of Connecticut, and they just, okay, keep on shooting, because when you have no confidence, your shot's not going down.
Yeah, that's true. Like, then they didn't have any confidence, and Klingon was, nasty as hell as all get out. It was wild. Do you think, since you cover the NBA and college basketball, is Zach Edey, is he going to be a lottery pick?
I don't think he will be a lottery pick, but he needs to go to the right place. And if he winds up going to, you know, the team that I think will reach up for him to get him, will probably be San Antonio. I'm not saying they're going to go with him with the first pick, but they might go with him around about 15 or 16 down that area when they don't think him, so that he can match up with Wimby.
So you'd have a 7'4" monster down low who's got slow feet but a soft touch and can shoot free throws, and then you got
and rebound and rebound.
And you got a freak on the other side in Wimby who can do like everything. Crazy three pointers, dribble, handle the ball, block shots.
And you can't double Wimby and you can't double Zach, so that'll open it up. And the only thing they'd be missing is a nice form guard and a guy who can shoot the three ball, and that would change the trajectory of that team around.
Golly, that'd be kind of fitting, you know. Nobody's played in the NCAA tournament like Zach Edey since David Robinson back in the day.
Yeah, and that's all he'd be there to rebound, protect the rim, and, you know, set screens. That's it.
It's not
rocket science.
Yeah, it's not rocket science, that's for sure. By the way, did you see the little thing, Zach Edey, 30 points, 15 rebounds? That's what he's averaging in the first four games. He's averaging 30 points and 16.5 rebounds, if we want to put it actually. But in the last seven.
You know what? He had his first 40-point game on Sunday. I didn't know that. I thought he had a 40-point game before. His 40-point game was his career high, period.
And he's averaging 30 in the tournament.
That is crazy.
Yeah, that is absolutely crazy. Now, I also got to ask you a little bit about some NBA action, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So, we're not really worried about the Grizzlies. They played Detroit, by the way.
Tonight, yes.
That's in Detroit. Are you still in Detroit?
No, I came home. My signs kicked in. I said, no, I got a fever. I need to bring my butt back home.
Oh, man, I hope you feel better.
Oh, I always feel good. I'm just hot.
Yeah, I got you. Well, Grizzlies are doing what they're supposed to do. They're fighting, but they're losing really bad. That's a good thing. But I did want to ask you just basically about, you know, the NBA and the standings and the whole situation with, like, what's going around. Like, what do you think? Like, I mean, if you watched Denver, they look unstoppable. Jokic is playing out of his mind. But Oklahoma City, does the one seed even matter to the Nuggets?
It depends on who comes out of that play-in. Because I'm looking at that 8-9, them play-in games.
Right now, you got the Kings, or the Suns, or the Lakers, or the Warriors.
Exactly. And the Lakers is the only team there that would scare me if I'm in one of those top three teams. Because you never know what you're going to get with the Lakers. Because they play bad against bad teams, but they play great against great teams. And with them with a four-game series and LeBron and the way LeBron get the whistle, you know, if I'm Oklahoma City or Minnesota, if I finish first, I'd be dreading getting beat by the Lakers as a 7th seed or 8th seed.
Yeah, that would be painful. But they did take care. Man, Denver took real good care of them, though.
Yeah.
Like, you know, last year. I still don't. Anthony Davis, though, and LeBron, when they go off, they're pretty nasty, aren't they?
Yeah, but of the three teams, you know, Denver's the only one I'm not worried about them playing the Lakers, but it won't be easy. But when it comes to Minnesota and Oklahoma City, if they play in the Lakers in the first round, I think they're going home, just like they sent Memphis home last year.
All right. I kind of like what you're saying. Do you think the Pelicans, are they a threat?
No, they're not a threat. You know, they having a middle of the road season. You know, Zion's playing a little bit more games, but you know they may win their first round game, but I don't see them getting past the second round. Because one thing about the West is really, really top heavy, and once you get to the second round, that I think that top heaviness is going to weather everybody down. Phoenix, Clippers, you know, Denver, those guys up there, man. When they get hot, I think they're going to be hard to beat.
Outside of Boston and Milwaukee, nobody really, really just absolutely scares you to death in the East, other than possibly Miami, who I just guess they love the play-in game. Is that their strategy?
That's not their strategy because they don't want to be in the play-in game. They really want to try to get up to 6. But for some reason, when they get to the playoffs, they're a totally different team. You know, you can't take Miami as seeding because they have the history of you know, competing in big game moments. So other than the top two, Milwaukee and Boston, no one outside of Miami will even scare me. So I've picked two of those three teams to go to the finals, Boston, Milwaukee, or Miami.
Man.
To the Eastern Conference Finals, that is.
All right, got one more question for you, and then I'm going to have to say goodbye and let you go and rest and get feeling better. How are you feeling about your Reds after opening week?
Hey, man, it's baseball. Me, a nice cold drink. And watching baseball. Look, I like baseball so much. I'm going back and watch the first two games that I didn't see. I saw the first game, but the second two games I didn't see, I'm going to watch those again.
Man.
As if I didn't see them or know the result.
Hey, dude, but the Reds, that team's going to be able to hit this year, man.
Hitting is not the problem. Our problem is always going to be pitching.
Yup.
That's our problem, pitching. And that division is going to be rough, man. We're going to beat up on each other. That's going to be a tough division.
So did you watch the game? You didn't get to see Will Benson and what he did like yesterday, did you?
Yeah, I saw it.
Okay, you did. Man, that dude loves hitting home runs in the ninth inning, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
That's a 6-1 since last season.
Okay, Johnny, I heard you talk to Crane, man, and you never made a pick. Who are you going with, the Dark Evil or Caitlin Clark?
I think I'm going to have to go with Caitlin Clark.
Okay. All right.
I love me some LSU because they got that little Haley Von Lith girl. They got Angel Reese. They got that freshman who can flat out just get to the rack and then shoot those threes. Kim Mulkey is crazy as all get out, and I like that because she has such a big personality. But I do, for some reason, kind of want to see, like, Caitlin Clark make it to the Final Four, a championship game like she did last year. But you know she's going to get beat by South Carolina.
I don't know. South Carolina been kind of sketchy.
They've been sketchy. They've won a couple close games.
Yeah, they've been kind of sketchy. So, you know, when you're playing a game, anything can happen. But, you know, it's going to be a great game. I'm going to camp out at my favorite watering hole at 5 o'clock, wait for the game to start at 6, and it's going to be nice.
Man, they need to give you free cocktails up there.
You know what? Nothing. I haven't had a drink this year, man. I've been drinking water.
Congratulations.
I'm just doing it. There's no reason. That's just not.
Well, I mean, have you lost any weight?
Of course I have. You didn't see me lately.
Man, I can't wait. I'm going to have to come check you out then, fool, man. Be blessed, Terry, man. Everybody follow him at TerryD515. Read his work in the new Tri-State Defender. Take care, homie.
Be good, my brother. Talk to you next time.
That is Terry Davis. We're going to take a quick timeout. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Let's get nuts.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio, hanging out with Brian Dacus. Pretty excited, man. You know what we're doing today?
I don't. What are we doing today?
I'm giving away something. You know I like to give away things. I'm giving away a bunch of things, actually.
Okay.
I'm going to give away tickets to World Wing Fest.
All right.
It's the 22nd annual World Wing Fest contest and festival. Yes, that's happening on April 20th. Today's April Fool's Day.
Sure is.
I'm not pulling any jokes, bro. I'm being straight with you. I'm going to give away some tickets today again. This all benefits the Ronald McDonald House. You can go to worldwingfest.com right now. Go to worldwingfest.com and you can get your tickets. General admission tickets. You can get VIP tickets. The VIP tickets are fully catered with tons and tons of food. And then also, of course, an open bar. You know what I'm saying? There's also, for all those teams out there, there's about 60 teams competing. If you want to compete, you need to go to worldwingfest.com right now and register your team to win. There's $10,000 in cash prizes on the line. There's going to be two tents, and I'm talking about for the concerts. That's right. All day long, there's going to be music out there. Two different styles on one side is going to have this, you know, little blues action. The other side is going to have a little rock and roll. Wings are going to be cooking. There's a wing eating contest. All this is going down on 420. That's April 20th. It's downtown at River Garden Park. That's right between Jefferson and Union Avenue. You head on down there. So, again, go to worldwingfest.com to get your tickets. The cool thing is your tickets, the money you spend, all the money you spend down there, that all goes to the Ronald McDonald House. So you can have a damn good time and do some real good, because Ronald McDonald House helps those families and those children who go to St. Jude from all across the country. They need places to stay. Those kids need to have their families with them. Like, love is very, very important in this time. Ronald McDonald House allows families to stay together while their children, you know, get the care that they need and deserve from St. Jude. So the Ronald McDonald House is a wonderful organization. Again, this will benefit the Ronald McDonald House Charities of Memphis. It is huge. It's going to be fun. It's going to be entertaining. And if you text me, 901-360-8255, that's the Sissy's Log Cabin texter and listener line. You text me right now your name, and two people are going to get two pair of tickets. But you just got to text me your name and your email address. Name, email address. I want wing tickets. And then you also have to tell some friends to go to worldwingfest.com and buy tickets. Again, the proceeds go to the Ronald McDonald House. Great charity. On the other side, we are going to be talking all things college basketball. We might talk a little women's basketball. I got to bring up, you know, like some of the stuff that I saw over this weekend, some games that I thought were pretty important. Pretty crazy. Like, how lucky, like, I'm going to ask y'all realistically, how lucky is Duke and NC State that Jamal Shedd sprained his ankle? Because Houston was about to run them boys out the gym, son. Jamal Shedd, gruesome ankle, high ankle sprain, terrible. Talk about a bad timing. Houston was slapping Duke around left and right. They didn't even know what to do. And they took the Big 12 player of the year out of the equation. They didn't really have a guard to go out there and run the offense and understand. I mean, this dude has been there forever. He knows Kelvin Sampson. Kelvin Sampson knows him. He knows how to run the offense. He's just a super player. And damn, man, I got to say, honestly, Duke and NC State both lucky that he injured himself, because I think they'd be playing Purdue if that didn't happen. So sad news for Houston fans. Sad news for Houston bettors. You know, that was painful losing Shedd, man. Everybody was celebrating. It was just, they were just dropping Duke, like dropping him. Man, it was ugly. And then he sprained his ankle and I almost cried. So we're going to talk about the tournament. We're going to talk a little baseball. And don't forget, I got some crazy stories from Hardinwood. We might get a P. Diddy update, you know? And then we also got to talk about Rashee Rice. His driving skills are questionable. I got some Mike Tyson news with the Jake Paul fight thing that's going on in Netflix. Kind of actually disappointing news and some surprising shockers. So don't touch the dial. We're back in two shakes. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.